Blog Talk Radio.
We them boys for life.
That boy. Oh, life.
Welcome to the war room. We got Ted, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show? And keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level. Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 knights at the round table. 5 silly guys, diversified and educated.
What up, War Room World? I'm Dat Bull for life. Welcome back to the hottest roundtable in sports. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and with me at the table today is Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, and Akil Bayon. We got a great show for you today. 2 of the NBA Final Four is set. The NHL is on the round 2, and in 20 minutes we'll be talking some music and sports with one of the industry's most renowned musicians, Nate Jones, on bass. We'll let Nate tell you who he roots for in the NBA and what they'll do for the rest of the playoffs. But right now, join us in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports to get a jump start on all the conversations. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. But before we get started, we got to shout out the team. The future of Sports Talk Radio has arrived, so be sure to listen to Roy and Chris on that Broad Street line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Also, check out Brandon and Daniel on Sports Trap Radio Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, also on Blog Talk Radio. Don't worry, you can't catch them live. You can hear and watch all our partner shows at warroomsports.blogspot.com. And in addition to that, don't forget to catch your boys in syndication 3 times on Fridays on newviberadio.com at 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on fatsradio.com. But right now, let's talk a little bit about what happened this week while you guys were on the grind. What up, fellas? I'm that boy.
You
that boy. All right, of course, while you're on the grind, it's brought to you by DirecTV. If you like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including that NFL Sunday ticket, go to our website, warroomsports.com, click on the DirecTV logo, and order yourself a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, you got to have DirecTV. All right, this week, man, this story is starting to get a little sad, man. Last week we reported Titus Young, former Lions receiver, getting arrested twice in the same day. Well, he kept up the trend because later on in the week he was arrested again. He was charged for the third time this week for allegedly breaking into a home. So he got charges for attempted burglary, assaulting a police officer, and resisting arrest. I don't know, man. And the fact is, this time he had like $25,000 bail, and his family actually hasn't bailed him out. I don't know. The last time I actually heard something on this story was yesterday afternoon, and he was still sitting in jail. What do you guys think is going on with Titus Young? Because I'm starting to hear like rumors of a brain disorder or something like that.
You think that's he's trying to cop a plea, trying to make an excuse? Or do you think, you know, from playing years of football, it could be that? You know.
Yeah, it's possible. I think I heard he was diagnosed as bipolar. But yeah, I mean, what you just said, that was a good question, because it seems like everybody who does something wrong in sports now is starting to be diagnosed as bipolar.
I mean,
is that the excuse diagnosis, or is this dude?
It's the NFL's fault that they have a reason to actually go to that. That's going to be the go-to move now, yo. It's like claiming racism when you know it's not.
It helps them out there in the whole case that they have.
I'm glad that you brought that point to light. And
that's what I do.
And let them know that it's excuse because I was getting ready to say, you soft, dude. Like, if you go with that, no, man, I can't. I don't care what type of brain damage disorder you have. At some point, there's some smidget of common sense and reasonable thought that you can access. And so if Titus Young wants to use that excuse, I say FOH to him, funds on hold. I can't, not going to be able to do, not going to be able to do. Yo, you know what time it is, you're tripping.
Yo, his dad said that earlier that same day, he and his son, like his son appeared happy. He took him out for coffee, and he appeared happy and was laughing. And then he said later that day, Titus Young said he was going out to his car to get his cell phone, and he drove off instead.
Well, it could have been, and you know we're good at speculating, it could have been that Colombian coffee that came in contact with Burundanga. Now, shout out to Lotus Blue. Burundanga, look that up, Google it, YouTube it, and find out what it is. If he had that Burundanga.
I mean, because you know what they ship, but you know what they ship in coffee grains. I learned that from Beverly Hills Cop 2. Or was that Beverly Hills Cop 1?
I learned
that. They ship in coffee grains.
Never mind.
All right, but this might be unprecedented, man. Has the first person we've ever spoke about on the show gotten the JoJo Award? He got it.
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
You should be ashamed of yourself, Titus Young. Speaking of, Jimmy Smith, ex-Jags receiver. He just started a 6-year bid in a federal prison in Mississippi. He had a case. He had two cases, actually, from back in, I forgot what year that was, but it seemed like they kept this under wraps pretty well because I don't remember hearing about or talking about Jimmy Smith and his run-ins with the law, but he was just sentenced last week to 6 years in a Mississippi prison. And I'm like Martin said on National Security, or I'm getting all the movies wrong, whatever movie that was, Blue Streak. He was like, don't nobody want to go to prison in Mexico. I feel the same way about Mississippi, because when I think about Mississippi prisons, I think about the movie Life. And I imagine that's the kind of hard
labor. Don't get too close to the gun line, boss.
Jimmy Smith.
Back up to the gun line, boss.
Jimmy Smith's going to try to cross the gun line and get smoked. Come on, Jimmy.
Yo, you know what's funny about this? I always looked at Jimmy Smith as being like a quote-unquote good guy, like an upstanding. He never tripped out on the field. I never really heard of these off-the-field run-ins with the law and his aspirations to be Neil Brown.
Yeah, because it was for drug possession and gun possession, two different
Neil Brown charges.
Two different times, yeah. No, I'm with you. I think because Jimmy Smith always seemed like a quiet guy. Like, he was a dude.
Now
I don't
know
if he was as good as I thought he was or if I used to overrate Jimmy Smith, but I used to look at him very favorably back when he played in the NFL. And, you know, like you said,
hey,
you never heard anything from him.
What did you say those charges were?
He had a drug possession charge and he had a gun charge.
Listen, man, that's why he was quiet, because the whole time he was making moves, man.
Yo.
Jimmy Smith is your pusher. I mean, he's not getting it like the dude from the Bears. So this is
comparing the narcotics games of NFL players. Now, huh?
He's definitely your pusher. All right, man. I don't know. I was about to say the funniest story of the week, but it could be sad. It all depends on how you look at it. A Pennsylvania high school kid, Jay Harris, he had a football scholarship to Michigan State. Now, some people are saying he walked away from the scholarship to pursue a rap career. Other reports are saying that Michigan State revoked his scholarship after they saw some of his rap videos on YouTube with explicit lyrics and smoking weed and all that kind of stuff in the actual video. Either way, you know, when he was asked, he said that, you know, he really didn't want to play football anyway, and he had decided to pursue his rap career. So whether he's spinning it after they revoked it or if he really walked away from it, it's the same story. What do you guys think of Jay Harris,
go ahead, B. Austin.
The rapper?
If Jimmy telling me to go first, that means Jimmy got some bars.
I mean, not really, but I should go, though. Go ahead.
I'm embarrassed because he's from around the way, kind of. I just wonder what type of advice he's getting. Now, I can only speak being the father of a male child.
Where's your daddy?
What I would do, my son would get punched repeatedly in the chest. Some of y'all may consider that abuse, but that's what you do to a 17-year-old who thinks he's a grown man making an idiotic decision. It's called tough love. And then he would get taken to the Michigan University, regardless of whether they rescinded the scholarship, gave it back. I would show up on campus with him. I would be willing to pay for the press conference, and he would apologize to the coach and the AD live on television, much like Singletary did to my man.
Vernon Davis.
Yeah.
Vernon Davis, yo.
All the tears and crying. And what would happen is my son would probably be stronger than me in the weight room by that time, but I would put that grown-ass man strength on him, and 10 years later in life, he would thank me for what I did. So his rap career would be done at that
time. I think, well, Jimmy, what you got to say, like, is it anything related to his bars? Because I could play some of his bars real quick.
All right, here's my – yo, go ahead, Dev.
I'm going to play some of his bars. So before we continue the conversation, we'll see what we're working with here as a rapper. So here's Jay That Bull. He's That Bull for life.
I'm That Bull for life. I take your wife, take his bitch and his bitch, and make them all go by. They know
what?
My name, so they do what I say. She dancing on my dick like she practicing her ballet. Damn, all you niggas take the way I do it.
That's enough, man. That's enough, man. That is
when
enough.
When did Philadelphia, Pennsylvania become Alabama?
Yo.
Willie G probably condones and endorses that song.
He from Downingtown, man. Don't be trying to claim Downingtown.
What are
your thoughts on this whole thing,
Jimmy? My thing, man. I look at this completely different than most, and I've had arguments online, but I fell back so I could express my thoughts on the show. In terms of what he did in leaving Michigan, I don't even have a problem with it, and here's why. In the words of the great poet Atlantic Star, if his heart wasn't in it, it wasn't going to work anyway. Because first time they would have asked him to do two-a-days, my man would have lost his scholarship from that point. His heart wasn't in playing football. But my problem is, if you have opportunities like this, you're going to pass them, yo, you got to show me a plan. And if your plan is to be a rapper, now you got other issues because, yo, your bars is weak. Yo, he ain't got bars like that.
Yo,
so
plus he told the Inquirer up in Philly that producer M. Stacks, whoever that is, had reached out to him, and the dude M. Stacks, through his manager Miguel Brown, said he'd never had any contact with this dude. But he said, however, given the increasing traffic to his YouTube videos,
exactly,
he said he might reach out to him at some point to make a deal.
So
you know,
so guess what's going to happen? He's going to get put on. He's going to get publicity.
Oh, he's going to get put on.
He thinks he's a fool. But my whole thing is this, though. Like, college isn't for everyone. We all know that. And
exactly.
But at the end of the day, you got to have a plan, man. If you plan as a fallback on them bars, you need to work on your craft because it kind of sucks.
See,
this, but
my situation is this. Now, we're going to get serious with it because we already clowned his bars.
Cool.
I mean, he's trash. This is my thing about the whole situation. Why not, like, in today's music industry, it's probably more important than ever that you know how to handle things on the business side, because gone are the days of traditional album sales and stuff like that. You know, you kind of got to know how to handle your own business instead of leaving it into the hands of record execs, because, you know, record companies are basically losing out to the digital age anyway, so there's no way in hell they're going to give somebody that's ignorant a fair deal. So you're going to be like Lox and Jada in a couple of years talking about how Puffy done stole their publishing and all that kind of stuff. Look, I saw
free
a
J
video
that
the other day where Nelly, and y'all know I was never a Nelly fan, so I'm taking hip-hop advice, business advice from Nelly. You know, the world is spinning the wrong way.
Hey,
but he made a lot of sense. Nelly was talking about people like Chief Keef and Drake, and them signing with a record company was basically the worst thing they could actually do, because they had more control over everything they did, because they were hot by themselves without a record company.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm like, take this free scholarship. You know, go to school and study something about business or the music business.
Now, but here's my point today.
Play football, have a fallback. You can have two fallbacks. If you can't rap, which I don't think you can, even though trash does sell these days, but even the trash that sells is short-lived. They're not, you know, longevity doesn't come with people who are garbage. You know,
longevity
quick flashing
music no more.
I mean, but it's a few people still out there who still have that base, that fan base that checks for them every time because, you know, they gave them something nice back in the day. Everybody who's hot, you know, a lot of people are just hot for a minute because there's no longevity in the game. So
shout out to
he could have two fallbacks. This dude, if he's that good like they say he is, he might have professional football as a fallback if he takes the scholarship. And, you know, just if he takes school seriously, he might have another fallback. So I just think he's, you know, making the wrong decision because of that.
All right, well, here's my thing with that, Dev. Well,
he needs a mentor.
After listening to his music, I don't think he would have been capable of going to school and studying anything. And I look at the fact that he was one of the top receivers, and now I'm questioning his high school, man, because it may be one of the situations where he got passed through because of his football talent. Because I don't think that J-Dat Bowler would have been able to go to anybody's college or university and have been able to, like, you know, make anything on the business.
So you're questioning his ability to read and articulate and count.
Listen, man, he said, like, she doing ballet. Listen, all I'm saying is I don't know that man, and this is all speculation, but that's what we like to do, to speculate. Follow your heart, man. Hopefully where everything works out for the best, because I don't want him trying to break into my crib. So hopefully everything works out for him. But it's an interesting story, and I like how people are so judgmental. Not talking about you, just in general, because people were killing this dude, Joe. At the end of the day,
I got advice for him. I ain't really got judgment. Like, do what you're going to do. I just got advice for you. You know what I'm saying? Use that. Free stuff, even if you don't, your heart not in football.
Go through the motions.
As long as you're going through the motions, they can't take your scholarship. They can't take your scholarship for performance. You know, they
got
to judgmental
advice.
I don't even think he would have been able to do that there, because if the boy hired him in the day to told that boy 2 a day, my man wouldn't show up.
He'd
have lost his scholarship before the season started. He'd have told the coach, listen, man, I'm that boy for life, man.
for life. All right, man, real quick before Jimmy get these birthday shout-outs, we got one more quick story. Donovan McNabb, B. Austin's favorite quarterback of all time, is going to retire in September as a Philadelphia Eagle. Anybody got any objections to this?
Man, I don't have any objections.
Of course
B.
I got
Austin
an objection.
Because
we shouldn't have drafted him in the first place.
Yeah, my thing is this. All the slander that I give McNabb, and it's all about his ability to play the quarterback position. I have nothing personally against him. I don't hold grudges like B. Austin. I just think that in terms of and that could be the case. I'm just saying in general, the way that he's treated as if he's one of the all-time greats, that bothers me because I don't see him as being such. But he is a Philadelphia Eagle. So
yeah, he played 11 years.
There's no way to say he's not an Eagle, man. So if he's going to retire, you got to retire an Eagle, man. Love him or hate him.
Even if you think he was a bum Eagle, he played 11 years with the Eagles. I have no objections to him, you know, retiring as an Eagle whatsoever. Hey, it's better that he's retiring as an Eagle than actually coming back to the Eagles. So,
Dev,
you know, pick your poison.
Dev.
Yo.
Don't ask me the question. Just speak for me.
I don't want to speak for you. I don't want to get kicked off the air. So we'll just move on and let Jimmy tell everybody who's having a birthday.
Absolutely, man. The birthdays are brought to you by Base Financial Services. To get more information, visit our website, which is warroomsports.com, and click on the Bay Financial Services logo.
It's my birthday! Yay!
I was going to say something real quick. I just got a quick message on Google Plus because, you know, during the show, we're on Twitter, Facebook, and Google Plus. Somebody said that, you know, we were featured on Tavis Smiley's Facebook page. So shout out to Tavis Smiley because I had no clue.
Tavis!
But, you know, what give him a shout out
Tavis Smiley got a hot girlfriend, so shout out to him, yo.
Yo, now that he put us on his page, though, I support him, and no Tavis Smiley slanders allowed around me ever again. Anyway,
support anything he does, anything he loves. A brother from another mother since me above.
Shout out.
These birthdays, by the way, are just some shout outs, you know, some all time greats or some not all time greats from the world of sports. Just want to send them a shout out on their birthday. The Bills running back, Thurman Lee Thomas, turns 47. Shout out to Thurman Thomas.
Underrated.
Yeah, he's forgotten. He definitely is. Because, I mean, Emmitt and Barry played around that time, so it is what it is. Former NBA player John Thomas Sally turns 49.
Trump, dude.
Yo, I don't even think of basketball. I think of that John from the Martin and Will Smith.
Yo,
movie.
Because he was better at everything else than he was. You know, he was better at everything else in life. But he was 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", whatever
he was. That stuff would have never opened up for
springboard.
About John Sally, real briefly, is that I remember reading that he was one of the all-time great high school players. And it's funny, when we think about these guys when they get to the pros, if they don't have great pro careers, you're like, yo, he's a bum. But some of these dudes were beat at different levels. Anyway.
See, that ball should take that. Football could be
life.
A springboard for whatever you want to do. That ball.
Yeah, no doubt. Former Ravens linebacker Ray Anthony Lewis.
Uncle Ray.
The great one, 38. Uncle Ray,
yo,
he called.
Shout out to you, Uncle.
All right, last one. You know, just talking about it. Emmett James Smith III turns 44. Shout out to Emmett Smith. We'd like to give a nice big warm salute to all these gentlemen on their birthdays. Before we move any further, Deborah Brown, when you got to tell everybody to get in touch with us?
All right. Y'all tweet that out and tell everybody that we're going to have Nate Jones on base right after these messages, though.
Now you already know.
All righty. Shout out to the birthday cats again. But if y'all want to check out our website, just go to warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, download our free War Room Sports mobile app, which is about to be upgraded, and to watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom to enter the chat room. Sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio if you don't want to do that. You can sign up through your Facebook or Twitter accounts, and while you're at it, click follow to get updates and reminders about the show weekly. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show this week and every week. So to call in and speak to us, dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk.
Real quick, Dev, I got to send a quick shout-out. KC Mack. It's his birthday as well. I'm talking to him on Twitter, you know.
KC
so,
Mizak!
Happy birthday, good brother. KC Mack, one of the best bloggers on the internet. You can check his writing out at warroomsports.com/blog. So shout to him on his birthday. Just wanted to throw that in there.
All right. So, yeah, we told you guys all week that we were going to have somebody from the music industry on the show this week. Nate Jones on bass is one of the premier bass players in the music industry, and he has done studio work and toured with every big name that you can think of in the world of R&B, pop, and hip-hop. We caught the brother on the early morning in San Diego on tour with Trey Songz, and sit back and relax and listen to what the brother had to say. Nate Jones on bass, everybody.
War Room Nation, we are live and in the building with Nate Jones on bass.
What's happening? What's going on,
good,
guys? How y'all
brother?
Doing out there, man?
Pretty good, man. How are you?
Man, doing well. You know, it's really early here. We out here in San Diego.
Cool,
true.
Cool.
True.
Having a good time,
true.
Man.
I love San Diego, actually. That's one of my favorite cities, man.
Yeah,
always beautiful out there. It
never rains in Southern California.
Uh oh, now you're singing a song. Come on here. Oh my goodness.
Forum Nation, Nate Jones is the music industry's premier bass player. He's on with any and everyone that you could think of in the R&B world, pop world, and hip-hop world, both on tour, in the studio, and we are honored and blessed to have him with us here today in the war room.
Thank you guys so much for even having me, man.
You fam now.
Yes,
so
sir, yes, sir.
On and chop it up many more times. We understand that you play many instruments. So how did the bass become your featured instrument, and how long have you been playing?
Well, I started playing drums when I was younger. You know the story, home church, and, you know, all the cousins, and to stay out of trouble, they had us doing something. So we were all playing drums, and there was so many of us that, you know, I had a cousin that was playing bass. I said, you know, I want to try something else. And he started teaching me bass, shout out to Barry, and the saga continues.
No doubt. All right, so tell us how you broke into the music industry and some of your biggest accomplishments thus far, you know, within the industry.
Breaking into the industry. Well, like I said, just when I was young, just playing in church. And most of the tours come out of church. When that's why a lot of times when I check out these different bands like Alicia Keys' band, and we all know each other just from playing in church, you know, when we were younger.
Okay.
But breaking in, it just amounted just being the right place, right time, and just staying true to the craft and, you know, just sticking with it.
No doubt. Well, I noticed that you just you named Alicia Keys. I was about to ask you, who are some of the more notable acts that you've played with and tours that you've been on?
With me, I toured with a guy named Life Jennings. That was one of my first breaks through in the R&B world. He was really, really hot on the charts. He had a number one single, and he gave me my first opportunity. So Life Jennings, and right now I'm doing a lot of studio stuff with J. Cole. Of course, I'm working with Trey Songz. And Trey's been keeping me, he's been keeping me busy for the last 4 years. And, you know, I work with Estelle, I work with Adele. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. You know, I try to, my good friend of mine, she told me, you got to start documenting this stuff. So I started taking pictures with everybody, and I put everything's on my site, you know, who I work with, who I share stage with. And it's just been a great journey. And it's like, it's only been about 8 years of me touring, so I'm still kind of fairly new to it. So I'm still getting butterflies. I'm still excited, and you know, they're like, man, we were just here last month. I'm like, man, yo, look, I'm hyped right now. You know, I have not lost my passion for the stage, for the music, for the art. You know, so it's a blessing to be a part of this lifestyle.
Speaking of that, like, give us some of the differences, you know, that you've noticed between the tour side of the business and the in-studio work that you do?
Just similar. You know, at the end of the day, it's about relationship. It's you know, it's not about who you know or who knows you. It's about who likes you. So on the tour scene, most of the guys, it's not about, like, how well you can play and things of that nature. It's just, hey, this is my boy. He plays a little bit, and then put him on. Now, granted, I'm blessed to be surrounded by guys that are, like, absolutely amazing. But at the end of the day, it's just about, you know, who likes you. And the tour scene versus the studio scene, it's basically the same thing. You know, I knew somebody, I knew my boy Elite, and he knew he was working with J. Cole. He brought me in, and that's how I got in, you know. Now, granted, you know, they didn't ask them, you know, what degree you have and who you work with. It's just a matter of just relationship. And I think that's with any business.
Right, no doubt.
True.
No doubt.
True.
Yeah.
We will have you to thank for the heavy bass lines on J. Cole's next project. So thank you in advance.
Well, I think, man. Like, he's been working diligently on his next album. I'm really excited for him and the whole Dreamville camp. Man, I was there about 2 weeks ago, and man, the music sounds amazing. It's authentic. He has his own sound because he's an amazing producer as well. And I'm just really excited and proud of just to be a part of that in-house studio, just Dreamville in general.
Man, that's beautiful. Of course, Nate, you know we're a sports-based show, sports theme. That's what we do. we hear that you have some experience with The Rock a little bit.
Don't start none, man. Be none.
I'm not taking no shots yet.
I'm not a young pup anymore, you know. But at the same time, like, yo, when I'm on the court, like, you know, there's no celebrities. We going at it right now.
Okay.
But you know the story.
Yeah. Where all did you play? Because you played a little college ball.
Yeah, I definitely played a college. I played college ball. I went to SUNY Pershing in New York. We actually won the championship.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yep. Westchester, New York. We won that championship. I can't remember what year that was, but we were a D3 school. But that was an amazing experience too. You know, same story. I had handled the law, and I was shaking them up, and I was making people fall and all of that. You know. And in my mind, I still got it. In my mind, I'm still 23 years old, and nobody can stop me.
Yeah, I feel the same way, Nate. I mean, I'm 50 pounds over, you know, my old playing weight, but I still feel if I went out there, I still got something.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think we were overseas, and I got a chance. I was with Trey Songz and in the camp, TSC, and we were like, we were so fiending to play basketball, but everybody's so passionate about the game, man. Looking back at the tape, we taped the game. We were looking pretty good out there, man. We were looking good out there. I told Trey, I said, yo, listen, we gotta start challenging these other camps, man. I think we can give them a run for their money, man.
Yo, that might be another revenue stream, but you ain't hear me though.
Hey, listen, we can talk about it. Let's do it.
You're also a huge NBA fan and a card-carrying member of the United Knickerbockers Nation. How far are they going in the playoffs?
It's going to be a challenge. I think it's mental. I like the way Melo was playing last game. I think that he needs to take a page out of LeBron's book. You know, they were shooting a lot of jump shots, and if the jump shot ain't falling, man, you are an amazing, amazing talent. Take the ball to the hole, and I was in a sports bar, and we were like yelling. Of course, I'm yelling at the top of my lungs, like, take the ball to the hole. And I don't know, God allowed him to hear me, and he started taking the ball to the hole.
He probably has the best post game in the NBA. He's got to get back down.
We got to do that. These guys are big, man. They big down low. They're strong.
Right.
We definitely got to pick the ball to the hole, man. And we need everybody to participate.
Switching gears back to you and the music scene a little bit, but still keeping it basketball. We understand that you did play, or y'all do play a little ball while y'all out on the road. Athletes and singers, or athletes want to be singers and rappers, and entertainers and singers and rappers want to be ballers. So who are some of the artists that you've come across that can hoop a little bit?
I came across a lot of guys that can play basketball, and there's a lot of people that say they can play basketball until we get on the court, and they don't understand that we're really serious. But, of course, Trey Songz is he's really a beast. And I'm not just saying that because he's really good. He's got young legs. You know, like, you know,
I'm saying
he's
been invited to the All-Star Weekend Celebrity Game, like, the last
two or three years. I'd be mad at him about that, too. You know, we had a conversation. Because, you know, he'd be all passing the ball. I'm like, listen, it's TV. You're going to be passing the ball.
I mean,
watch it on TV. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to leave that to Ernie Duncan, the Secretary of Education.
Let's go to the hole, baby. No passion. I don't want no passion to Kevin Hart. No passion to Justin Bieber. I need you to take it to – I need buckets for me. But, Trey's a beast. J. Cole is a monster. Chris Brown, we were all out. We did a show in Australia, and it was a whole bunch of acts on that bill, Superfest, and we got a chance to play with Chris Brown. Chris Brown is a monster.
Yeah.
Chris Brown can hoop. Neo can hoop a little bit.
Yeah, he got a little hand on a little bounce.
Kevin Hart got a nice game. It's so many cats, but those are some that off the top of the brain right now, you know, those guys that come to mind.
Yeah, I like to take credit for that. Me and Kevin Hart went to day camp together back in, I don't even want to say the year, but back in Philly.
Okay.
So, you know, I want to take a little bit of credit for that. you know, schooling him up a little
definitely.
Bit.
You bust,
he got some fundamentals, man.
He definitely fit into the little point guard role. He didn't really have much of a choice, but he's pretty good at it.
Yeah, now I see, like,
that's a Philadelphia thing, though. He real fundamental.
Yeah. The fundamentals are on point. Me personally, I'm super full right now, but at the same time, like, I'm tired. So I'm the half-court king. If we playing 4-on-4 half-court, we're going to win, definitely, hands down.
I heard that.
I'm going to give you up. I'm going to find your weakness. Oh, you can't go left? We're going to push you to your left. We're going to make it happen. And I'm a defensive player. You can't stand in front of me. I'm fast. We got to play, man. We got to set up a game and let's play. Let's make it happen.
I was about to say, we got to find out if we out on the road during one of y'all tour stops. We got to come rock with y'all one of these days.
Please, man. I'll find a gym and we'll make it happen for us.
Cool.
And y'all can even have your cousin Marquise
shout out to Marquise. Listen, I don't know what kind of game Marquise got. Now Marquise is about 6'8" or something like that. he looks like he got it. I don't know. I don't remember.
Uh oh, Marquise, shoot up too.
Let's get it, baby. I'm gonna shout at everybody. Let's go.
Hey, what are some of the up and coming projects that we should be looking out for, and where can our listeners find your music and keep up with Nate Jones?
Well, I have everything on my website. You can find out all the things that I'm doing on my website, www.natejonesonbass.com. But we've talked off air. I have a movement called Taste the Stage. Now, Taste the Stage is like one of New York's premier open mics and artist showcases. We're a 10-year vet movement. We've been moving locations. We were in Brooklyn for 10 years. Now we're in the city. I know Harlem wants us. Queens wants us. It's just an amazing, amazing event, and I'm actually building the website for that right now. But we have like all the online stuff, the Instagram and the Facebook and the Twitter. Taste the Stage, one word, and you can kind of just. There's a whole bunch of pictures and things of that nature up there. But it's an amazing movement. Some of the top musicians in the world playing the band, and what we're basically trying to do is a school for the next generation, because cats are getting lost. You know, the musicians, they're developing these amazing skills. They get on YouTube, they get 100,000 views, and they skip a school. And with me, you know, I don't want to tell my age, but I went through a school where we had to play in the club. I had to play in church, I had to play in the club. And all of that's a testament to my development and where we are now. So I don't want that to get lost, you know what I mean? So we're definitely reaching back, giving people opportunities to share stage with. The industry is great and the best. And my band, we got cats that play with Lauryn Hill, J. Cole. I work with Trey Songz. I share stage with Stevie Wonder and so many other show. Crow. We on a pop radio show today with Ne-Yo and The Wanted. And most of these acts, people we don't even know because they're pop acts, you know. But we're definitely making some groundbreaking moves with this movement.
Ooh.
Man, no,
hey,
that's,
Nate,
that's
actually. You know, but usually right before we get our guests off, we ask them to quote-unquote do their commercial. You on point, brother, because you just did your commercial for us anyway. but no, it's all good. But before we do get you out of here, just tell them one more time where they can find the website and if you got any, you know, if you're on Twitter, if you're on anything else,
let
them know.
Got you. Well, once again, my name is Nate Jones on bass. My Instagram, I made it really simple for everybody. Nate Jones on bass, one word. That's my Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. My website is www.natejonesonbass.com. I'm definitely looking to do sessions. I'm looking to do events. If you need a band, you holler at me. Whatever you need, I basically got it. So check me out, and I definitely want to thank Wollum Sports, man. You guys have definitely blessed me, made my day brighter. It's early here in San Diego. I really thank you for the opportunity. Definitely.
No doubt. But, you know, anything that you do from here on out, you know, let us know and we'll promote it for you. We'll get it out there for you because you're fam now, like B said earlier. But go ahead, B.
Oh, man, we gonna get you out of here on that note. But listeners, definitely stay tuned to Nate Jones on bass. And he's a purveyor and a curator of this music culture, just good music. You know, good music, doesn't matter if it's hip-hop, R&B, pop, good music is what should be associated with Nate Jones on bass. So thank you, brother. We appreciate you, and we appreciate your time. All of our
listeners
are...
Thank you guys so much for having me.
All
right, talk to you guys in a little bit. And let's set up that basketball game.
All right, no doubt.
All right, I need 3 days in advance to stretch.
All right.
I'm old.
Cool.
All right, guys.
All right, everybody. Nate Jones on bass.
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, that was our interview with Nate Jones on bass. So look out for him. You know, definitely look out for all the artists that he tours with and that he gets down in the studio with. You might hear some of them on the show. You know, we like to mix a lot of stuff with music here because music is a big part of our lives and our culture. So don't be definitely don't be surprised when you hear hip-hop, R&B, pop artists, stuff like that inside
the
war room talking a little bit of sports because that's what we do.
Real quick, Dad, before you move on, man, got hit up on Twitter. The homie who messaged with us and said it's also his birthday, the battle rapper and musician Matt Hopper. So happy birthday. Shout out to him.
Shout out, man.
He listens to the War Room, and that's family. So happy birthday to him. But go ahead, Dad. Let's jump into some hot topics.
No doubt. Hot topics are brought to you by Audible. If your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you could be listening to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the very same time. Man, this thing of theirs called golf, the PGA Tour, Tiger Woods wins his fourth title of the year. He won the Players Championship this past weekend. You know, as usual, with Tiger, he set the bar so high. Nobody's impressed because it's not a quote-unquote major. Doesn't sound like we've been saying this every other week now. That's how much he's winning these days. Tiger, the number one player in the world, I personally think he's all the way back. And I think with golf, just like a lot of other things, it's like any given weekend type of thing. I don't think that, you know, he's dominating and he just can't win a major, quote-unquote. You know, I think it's just the luck of the draw. This is the week I win this golf course. It just happened not to be a major. One of these times, he's going to get lucky and actually play the way he's playing now at a major event and get people off his back. But he's four wins away from Sam Snead's record for PGA Tour wins. I think he'll pretty much have that record by next year. I'm not sure about Jax because he's still, you know, of course he has to win the majors to do that. What do you guys think about the whole Tiger winning the Players' Championship this past week?
Listen, I don't know if he's completely back, but at the end of the day, he's playing some good golf right now, and he's pissing people off, and I like that even more so than him playing good golf. Because it seems like now, here's a funny thing. Before everything went down, Tiger was dominant. Everyone loved Tiger. He was that guy. But now it's like taboo to hate him. It's like he's a bad guy now. Even outside of his game, you just watch the way people talk about him and the way they talk about his wins or how he plays. It's sort of like they're talking about a bad guy now. So I just find that very interesting. It's the same man. I mean, he made his mistakes or whatever, but people hate Tiger. It's like taboo to hate him now. So people are rooting against him. So I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, he had some controversy at the event. Sergio Garcia was complaining again. you know, he had a chance to beat Tiger and didn't do it. Had a few excuses. I heard him kind of going through the ringer this week, though. People saying, you know, I actually heard a radio announcer call Sergio Garcia a bitch. Like he was out there acting like a bitch again. Like, dang, he went kind of hard on the brother, but, hey, he's gotten a reputation. So, I mean, I guess some people don't take lightly to that. And the funny thing about it is this actual sports radio talk show host, he definitely doesn't really like Tiger that way. So if he's calling somebody a bitch in favor of Tiger, then he must really don't mess with dude like that. But, other news out of the world of football, not the football everybody's thinking about, the world of international soccer, David Beckham announced that he will retire at season's end. You know, we're not staunch followers of the game, but, you know, anybody got anything to say about the career and legacy of one Bex David Beckham?
I'll speak briefly. I know B. Austin follows soccer a lot more frequently than I do, but when I think of him, I don't even think of him as being an extraordinary soccer player. He has some hot chicks. He's more of a pop star. And, you know, that's all I know him for. But I have heard people tell me that follow soccer that he was a lot better before he became the so-called pop star over in America. A lot of times we get soccer players, they come over here when their career is over in other countries just to
and
get
Doc,
money.
Doc Bayon is in the war room with us. But, look, it's still – Even so, Jim, he still came over here and won a championship with the LA Galaxy. I'm not saying like it was all his fault, but the dude, he's one of those guys, because you hear a lot of people say that David Beckham is overrated. I hear a lot of people who don't know a damn thing about soccer say that David Beckham's overrated because it's popular to repeat things that you hear. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, David
but
Beckham
the dude,
is an
if you're
going to
say anything,
soccer.
Yeah, if you're going to say anything, though, you got to call the dude a winner because he's won basically everywhere that he's going.
Yeah.
So and he says it himself, like he thinks sometimes, you know, all that other stuff, him being an icon, kind of overshadow what he's done on the pitch and what he's achieved. But, you know, who's going to trade that in? You know what I mean?
I appreciate
great game
calling out those that don't really watch the sport, because if you don't watch him, then you really have no right to say that. Is he overrated in 2013? I'll say the last 5-6 years, yeah, he's overrated. But that is based in part due to that iconic status. Listen, David Beckham left being a soccer player and became an icon and a market maker, you know, 10 years ago. I mean, in his heyday, in his prime, dude was one of the best penalty kickers and
bending it like Beckham.
Yeah, bend it like Beckham. Pause. One of the best penalty kickers, one of the best strikers that was in the Premier League, and so he earned the reputation. It's just that
Sabonis, man.
Yeah, his prime was probably from, I'll call it, 20 to 30. Well, now he's 38, so he's 8 years out of his prime. Then he got that big contract. The MLS got together.
But that's that be often is what have people in America talking about he's overrated.
Right.
But they weren't giving him that contract thinking they were getting the same player. They were getting an icon. They were getting the seats filled.
People came to see him play.
Exactly. They were getting the seats filled in a country where we don't fill the seats.
Right, right. So,
but
I'm not mad at him. He earned the status.
He's won in the Champions League.
Corner kicks and penalty kicks were his thing.
He's won in the Champions League with Manchester United. He won titles with Real Madrid, AC Milan, and, like we just said, the Los Angeles Galaxy. And a few days ago, he just finished winning another championship with the French club Paris Saint-Germain. So, like I said, I'm not saying it was his fault. You know, he was the reason why he won all of these championships, but he won them. You can't really take that away from him.
Do with it.
Hey,
if you're going to call him something, you can call him a winner.
In my opinion, and talking to those of Caribbean and African descent who are hardcore soccer fans, and even those of Hispanic descent, they all said that Beckham, yeah, he's good, but he's overrated. He's overrated. They would always mention some of the other guys from Brazil or, you know, other countries or African countries that were really good at soccer that were playing in the English league. So.
See, but what people don't realize
is
you don't have to be the best in the world to be, you know, the guy who markets products and a winner. Face it, people are calling him overrated because he's an international icon. If you go anywhere in Europe, you're going to see, like, his face on the side of buildings, like mural-type endorsements and things like that. And you know, people see that and they say, oh, man, this dude ain't that good, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, it's what it is, man. He's not a bum. He's definitely not.
I don't think he's a bum, but I guess because I've talked to soccer heads who all say the same thing in reference to him. But at the end of the day, man, let's talk about his game, because he's had a
20-year career. And so at the end of his career.
Like the late 90s. Late 90s, early 2000s,
he wasn't overrated. He was overrated. Yeah. And knows a lot of those guys.
I don't think they were saying that he was the greatest, you know what I'm saying? You sell a product,
right.
It has, you know, there's a lot of other variables in selling products, you know what I'm saying? The way
Yam
you look.
Farming.
Yeah, exactly. The way you look, the
yo,
way
David
the
Beckham
way
was
people
selling
take
women's
to you.
Perfume. He was selling women's perfume, yo.
Yeah. So let's get let's go to the phone lines real quick, the digital, because we got Vare from D.C. on the line. I know he's a soccer
head. He's
going to
tell
us
about Beckham.
Vare, what's going on, bro?
Hey, what's good, War Room?
Chilling.
You already know. We done boys.
Tell us
life.
About
what's
David
up?
Beckham, Vare, because you a soccer
this
head.
This is the first time I've ever heard soccer in the War Room, and I was happy, man. I was like, let me get in on
nah,
it,
we
man.
Talked
we,
Lionel
we're
Messi.
Here.
We talked
we've
Messi.
Done it a few
we
times.
Talked Ronaldo.
We've done it a few times. We're definitely not experts, though. We're definitely not experts. So that area. So, you know, we'll talk. But what's your thoughts?
Yeah. You know, he did it all. He had a great career. I mean, he never won, you know, on the international level with his country. And, I mean, even the current-day greats that are in their prime, like Leo Messi and Ronaldo, I mean, they haven't done that either. I mean, it's really hard to do. But
and he's had 115 caps with his country too.
Right. And you know, as far as like set pieces, I mean, like he's the master of set pieces. When you're talking free kicks, corner kicks, like y'all had referenced earlier. So you know, I give him his props. I mean, it's time to call it a career. He could have called it a career a long time ago because obviously when he came to the United States, he wasn't the same guy he was over there in the La Liga and the Premier League.
Yeah,
but,
cause you know
you
he
know,
came over here as a novelty act. If they're going to pay you all that money to put some butts in the seats and, you know, show up and collect that
great move. Yeah, it was a great move for both sides.
You know,
so,
they probably
you know,
would have got
I respect him.
Yeah, they probably would have won the championship without him, but why not have him?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe not. I mean, they won two titles, and I think it was three title appearances they had with the Galaxy. But, you know, I mean, that team was stacked. I mean, who wouldn't want to play with David Beckham in L.A. So, you know,
residual Yam
from his highlight. I can't look at any of his highlights and be like, you know, ooh, like how you see the stuff Ronaldo does with his footwork and, you know, the speed of Messi. He doesn't have none of that. But, you know, his signature is the free kicks and stuff. You know, he can bend them in there and you'll be like, whoa.
And, you know, and the ladies like him, so.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not going to help. That's going to help you out when you try and sell products. So that's why I say I think his iconic status, his brand, is what a lot of people look at when they want to, you know, kind of dog him out. But, hey, I mean, if you got that and people want to pay you money to hawk their products, then, I mean, unless, you know, you're doing something that's unethical, why not?
Right. Yeah, and then the Champions League win with Manchester United. I mean, it doesn't get no bigger than that. Playing for Real Madrid, winning La Liga titles, it doesn't get no bigger than that. So, he never got the World Cup, but England as a whole hasn't won a World Cup since 1966. So,
Still ain't going to win one. But thank you for your call, man. We appreciate it. Give us some insight
on this
world
one.
Of football.
Yes, sir.
Real football. All right, Vare. Peace, man.
All right.
Yeah, that's what's up. See, we got to talk some of this stuff more. We got people sitting around waiting for us to talk certain things that we don't talk. But back to the regular. NFL, David Garrard retires. What do you guys think this does for the Jets quarterback situation? Me personally, I thought that it would be a situation where David Garrard ended up starting. I told y'all that before. Like, I don't think he's great or anything, but he probably knows the game better than any quarterback on that team right now. So I thought he would probably end up being the opening day starter, but he's saying his knee, you know, has constant swelling, so he's going to call it a career. Is it Geno Smith time in the Jets organization, or does Sanchez get one more shot, in your opinion?
Listen, man, I wouldn't let Sanchez throw a sandwich to me, yo. So all I'm saying is,
like Steve,
you might as well let Geno play, man. Let Geno play, see what you got, and, you know, because listen, I mean, I don't think.
What about all the money? What about all the money they have tied up in the Sanchez? They just cut him and take the hit.
That's it. I mean, what else you going to do? You going to put him out there to keep embarrassing himself?
Yeah, it's like, do you take a hit? Do you take the cap hit by cutting him, or do you really waste more money by having him as your backup? You know, so it's like you got to weigh those things and see which one makes it better. I personally think they're going to give him one more shot. I think they're going to probably try to groom Geno Smith, see what he can do maybe in the long term. Maybe if Sanchez is absolutely stinking the joint up, then we might see a Geno Smith appearance by midway through the season. But I think, especially because, you know, that veteran presence in David Garrard has bowed out gracefully, I think this gives Mark Sanchez one more shot at trying to salvage his career in New York.
Y'all know I love to slander Mark Sanchez because it's
Moss. Moss.
I don't have anything personal against him. So in this instance, I'm going to say that Mark Sanchez actually has improved every year he's played. Now, does that make him good? Does that even make him average? Probably not. But he's not as bad as I or we make him seem, and I don't think that Geno Smith is going to be ready to take
the
helm.
He has the tools, the mechanics and stuff like that, but I wouldn't really call it an improvement. I wouldn't say that he backslid either, because when he was getting props for going to AFC Championship games, they weren't really
doing
that off of his arm. You know what I'm saying? So
he's doing that off a great defense and a running game.
I think they just gave him more autonomy to do stuff because they thought they had a grown-up quarterback, and it just showed you that he was a bum all along. I don't think he improved or got worse. I think he was just a
During those runs, that was the height of his career. If you take those six games, those playoff games, that's the best he's ever played. Rating, completion, interception, touchdown ratio.
In a simplified, dumbed down.
I was about to say they dumbed it down for him because that defense was the truth back then. So
they doubled their wins.
Dumbed down their playbook. Yeah. Doubled their dollars.
Criticize them for it, but they all holler though.
Well, speaking of, I don't even want to segue like this, man, because I ain't gonna be all on the radio calling this bull dumb, man. But Mike Vick and Chip Kelly's practices, because you know they've had OTAs. His practices are like all the rave in Philadelphia and around the league now because
they talk about the tempo.
Everybody's talking about the tempo and the speed that Chip Kelly wants the Eagles to play at. You know, the whistle blows. He wants everybody looking to the sideline to get hand signals and everything like that so they can get a play called. And you know, back to the line of scrimmage in less than 10 seconds after the whistle blows. Now, the whole read option is one thing. You know, Mike Vick might be suited for that kind of thing, even though he's not really that successful.
You can't read.
But with this up-tempo style, How do y'all think he'll do with that? Because it's basically almost a hurry-up type thing. Like, is that even worse for somebody who has a reputation for not being able, to read and do the mental things in football?
Here's my response before you gentlemen go. I want to start my response off by reading to you one of the greatest sports quotes of all times by one Michael Vick. Mike Vick was quoted as saying, "I have two weapons, my legs, my arm, and my brains."
Damn, he botched that.
Yo, end quote. And that's a real quote, by the way.
I have two weapons. My legs, my arm,
and my brain. Listen, all I want to say is this. I don't know whether he will or not, because at the end of the day, he could have put work in on the mental side, but he's been in the league a long time, which leads me to believe that nothing will change. Can't change the player's game in a ninth inning.
You might see me all blue, all red, every day. I'm 50 Tyson.
So, it would lead me to believe that he wouldn't be able to, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, man.
No, I'm not. Mike Vick does, though? Mike Vick is one of the more inspirational figures in football that you will find, because he talks a great game. He kind of gets the fans hype with what he says. But then, you know, after saying the things that he says that gets the city all, you know, excited, he kind of goes out and, in my opinion, is one of the weaker links on the team. So you can't do all of the talking about what this team is capable of and, you know, I'm reinventing myself, I'm rededicating myself. Yo, you rededicated yourself every year for 10 years. Why do people still fall for that, personally? I don't understand.
I mean,
people are still falling for that.
He's reading out a book of Ish I'm Supposed to Say.
Yeah, and people must be reading out of Ish I'm Supposed to Believe, because every year people get hype. I mean, I'm in a few Eagles groups now on social media, and people are like, oh, man, I think we're going to be all right, man. Mike Vick, man, he looked like he rededicated. Yo, he said that before. Like,
the term
really?
Fan, the term fan is from fanatic, and when you are a fanatic and you lose all objectivity, it doesn't matter whether it's Mike Vick, it could be Mike Quick, it could be anybody. You just want to hear great things about your team, and you ride with it without using your brain.
Damn,
I mean,
blind homers, whether they're from other towns, from my town.
Listen,
oh my God.
This is what sports is, though. Now, think about the Redskins fans who defend the use of the term Redskin. For no other reason other than the fact that they like the Redskins.
I've had a lot of conversations about that recently. Some of them are actually intelligent, even if, you know, the other side is not agreeing. But most of them, oh, my God, the ignorance being spewed, people not having the wherewithal to step outside of their own little box and realize that other things and other people, you know, have a place in this world as well. Oh, I can't stand the ignorance, man. I can't stand the ignorance, because if the shoe was on the other foot and this team was called the Washington Niggas or the Washington Blackface, black people would lose their ever-loving minds. But because they don't know any Native Americans, so they haven't heard anybody complain, then all of this is just some made-up BS. I can't stand that sentiment, man. I can't stand
because,
that sentiment.
You know, history is revisionist, and to the victor go the spoils of writing the history books and telling us what is real and what is inconsequential. So Redskin is no longer a racial slur, and it's the name of a wonderful
sit,
here
so.
In Washington.
Yeah. All right, but, yeah, we can't stand homers. I can't.
No, all
everybody.
I know is I got three weapons. My mind.
Yo, AB,
also,
you ain't have to at Mike Vick like that, too, man.
No, he also don't care, man. He will slander somebody and at them at the same time. But look,
yo,
man, before we
one
move
thing
on,
you have to say, at least I tell it to their face, man. That was a great quote.
No doubt. No doubt. See, but what I'm saying, like, because people always ask us, you know, I mean, we actually get compliments. Like, if we interview people, we try to keep it real and ask them the things that people really want to hear. But some of these guys we would like to do that with, but I don't think they're going to come on because B. Austin slanders them before we even get a chance to ask them
man,
to come
I'm gonna
on.
Keep
so.
It, I'm going to keep it 100 with y'all. As dumb as I think Michael Vick is, I actually like him as a
no,
as
and you've expressed that. You've expressed
that. I like about him because the last Eagles starter that had any tenure with us, 11 years, is a coward. And the one thing that I will say about Mike Vick is not a coward. Mike will go out there and try and die to get a win. Now, he might not be able to think. He might think 2 is 3 or 3 is 2.
Yeah.
And that's why
listen,
when he gets
man.
To the line,
listen,
when he gets to the line and there's one,
this,
he
man.
Can't count how many
listen,
men
this,
are coming. Pause.
This is how we're going to end this. We got to move on. This is how we're going to end this. Just know that it's no coincidence that I grew up with Mike Vick's wife. And he still hadn't been on our show yet. Just know that there's no coincidence in that, all right, before we move on. But before we do, we want to give a couple of shout-outs. Of course, this past Sunday was Mother's Day, so definitely from the War Room, we want to give a shout-out to all the mothers out there that's doing the hardest job that this world has ever introduced to humans, and that's mothering. I see single mothers out there. I mean, come on, I'm married with a son, and I see what my wife does. And I'm, like, in awe. So I can imagine, you know, the stuff that a woman has to go through when they have to do this on their own. And there's too many people out there who are going through this thing by themselves. It's not always the dude's fault. Some of these, y'all lay down these knuckleheads. But that's besides the point. We want to give you all your props. I'm saying that's in some situations. some people don't have a choice. I mean, it, you know, got to keep it real. But shout out to them. We want to give a shout out to Rel Daldell. He was on our show a few weeks ago. He was on our show to talk about the movie 42, but of course he's a writer, producer, movie director himself. And one of his films from 2012, Changing the Game, has made it into the Cannes Film Festival. So he's over in France right now having his movie shown at Cannes. And, you know, if you're a movie head, especially like Independence, you know that it, yeah, Cannes, Cannes.
That's a big deal.
That's
definitely
took French
a big
for like
deal.
6 years. But that's definitely a, yeah, like Jimmy said, that's a big deal. So
yeah.
Shout
that's
out to Rel Daldell.
Chappelle type thing.
And I know Jimmy had a shout
yeah,
that he wanted to get.
Yeah, one more shout out to another listener of the War Room and a friend of the War Room, one Tamika Lane. She's actually running for judge this Tuesday in Philadelphia, judge for the Court of Common Pleas. Just wanted to shout her out and, you know, let the people know that we have important people who listen to our show. So get out there and vote if you're in Philadelphia on Tuesday. Tamika Lane is a friend of the War Room running for judge, and shout out to her. So let's move on, gentlemen.
All right, so, you know, of course, y'all can check out our website at worldroomsports.com to call in and speak with us about any of today's topics. Dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. Just press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk.
You already know, man. Let's keep it moving, man. I know our last segment sounded like a Tribe Called Quest album, you know what I'm saying? You know, get all the shout-outs to Busta Rhymes in effect.
Like the end of a Illmatic song or something. To Oogie, one love.
Big Oogie. What is a Oogie?
Big man for Oogie. Yo, we run this a lot. Yeah, man, my fault, Joe. Anyway, let's talk some NBA playoffs. This talk is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, Android phone. And if you happen to have a BlackBerry or Palm phone, you probably should upgrade, specifically since BlackBerry is giving everybody BBM. Why would they need a BlackBerry anymore? But if you happen to still have a BlackBerry, you can listen to The War Room. And if you happen to have a Palm phone, yo, send us a picture of it, because I don't believe anybody has a Palm phone anymore. But if you do have one, Facebook.com/WarRoomSports, Twitter.com/, yo, send us a picture of your Palm phone. Anyway, the latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Go to Stitcher.com/TheWarRoom. That's one word. You can click the logo right on our webpage, WarRoomSports.com. And when asked for a coupon code, use the War Room. That's one word. It will enter you into a contest to win some dough, and who doesn't want to win any dough? Now, with that being said,
well, OKC and Chicago ain't playing basketball.
They definitely not.
Some more people.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say how bad Curtis Blow was as an MC, because we do that every week. Now, speaking of OKC, they almost lost to Memphis, but I want to start this conversation off. Forget the game. Marc Gasol, who's the defensive player of the year in the NBA, he didn't make the all-defensive first team. I mean, how did you guys feel when you saw this headline that he didn't make
hey,
all defensive
I'll go.
First of all,
let
this
me
is
go.
The
let
second
go.
Year in a row that that's happened. Go ahead, Kill.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I guess I'll extrapolate this from one Colin Cowherd, that you have different voters because for the defensive player of the year, you have people who watch the game, and analysts and writers, but for the all NBA defensive team, that's coaches. So basically, I guess they felt as though Marc Gasol, you know, on a good defensive team, was a good story, hard worker, great with the media, and the coaches said, you know, smack him, give me a Tyson Chandler as my center if you want to anchor the all-defensive team. So, you know, actually Tony Allen is a better received more votes than Marc Gasol. So there you go.
Yo, actually, if you look at the voting between the first and second team, Marc Gasol got the least votes of anybody on both teams. That's crazy. And the team was they actually had six because Chandler and Noah tied for the center position with like 24 votes apiece or something like that. So your team was Chandler, Tyson Chandler, Joakim Noah, Tony Allen, LeBron James, and Chris Paul. Is that six? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, that's still five. It was one more person on the team. Chandler, Noah, Allen, LeBron James, Chris Paul, and...
Would it be another guard? It's a guard.
Serge Ibaka. Serge Ibaka as a forward.
Oh,
Serge
damn,
Ibaka.
It's not another guard. It's Serge Ibaka. Serge Ibaka.
Serge Ibaka was also on the first team. Second team was like Gasol, my man, up and coming, Paul George from Indiana. First of all, what do you guys – okay, this happened 2 years in a row. Like Akil said, it's a different set of voters. So it's a little easier to understand because a lot of people are kind of up in arms about this going on. But I think when people were up in arms this year, they forgot that it actually happened last year because Tyson Chandler didn't make first-team all-defense last year
because
Dwight Howard did.
A lot of people have a problem with Marcus Gasol winning the award in the first place.
Right.
So
it's definitely,
they make a big
deal
out of it.
They forgot about it last year because they wanted to emphasize
it. The words of Roy Jones, they must have forgot. I mean, I found it interesting because there was a lot of talk about it. Most of it due to the fact that people don't like Marc Gasol, and I think they don't like Marc Gasol just because they don't like Pau Gasol.
Because I'm still wondering if there's people still out there saying that the Lakers
anti-Laker fans
that they traded Pau, they got Pau Gasol for nothing.
Well, you
have
that.
But understand, I wrote an article like 2 years ago trying to explain to people.
I'm about to break it down.
And look what's happening now. And if somebody can tell me right now that the Memphis Grizzlies' success isn't stemmed by that trade, then you don't know the business of the NBA.
Right.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Here's my point here. The reason people don't like Marc Gasol is because people don't like Kobe Bryant, right? So,
connect them dots.
The fact that Kobe won championships after Shaquille Rashawn O'Neal, a lot of Kobe haters say it's because he got Powell. But they don't realize that the reason they got Powell is because they gave up Marc Gasol. Also, helped Memphis, with their salary cap, which allowed them to get Zeebo. Basically, the team that they have, the core of that team, is because of the Powell Gasol trade. So, it was the right move for both teams at the time. So people don't like Kobe, so they don't like Marc Gasol. See, I mean, that's what they did.
See how you connected them?
Damn.
Yeah, they're not connected right now, man. Let's get to another topic. Before I do, man, shout out to our brothers, sportskings.com, because they hit us up on Twitter and telling everybody to listen in. They're listening, so shout out to our brothers at Sports Kings.
Make sure you catch Field Vision with War Room Sports and Sports Kings every Thursday on warroomsportstv.com.
You already know, you know what I mean? It's like an EPNP
out.
Give them a shout out.
The Kang.
We down with the Kings.
Anyway, NBA owners, vote to keep the Kings in Sacramento. Gentlemen, do you believe this is the right move for the game as well as the Kings?
It's a win. It's definitely a win for Sacramento. Akil, Dr. Bayon just said, who cares? And in terms of the rest of the country.
Given the house argument.
Definitely, who cares? But I think Sacramento, this is one of those things, is really tough, man, because someone loses, no matter how you look at it. Seattle has a great fan base and a rich basketball history and tradition. So for them to be without a franchise is kind of sad.
That's true.
But Sacramento, they got the cowbells.
I disagree that someone has to lose in this situation. Seattle already lost with the whole OKC thing. This is Sacramento's team, so they're not losing anything. This is Sacramento's team. I think they would be the only person, people in this situation to take a loss. It is easy to say who cares because at the end of the day, just like, I say with the whole Redskins name change situation, I'm not going to be out on the front line with Native Americans, picketing and at Daniel Snyder's office. But at the same time, I've been on my thing lately where I do realize there's other people in the world besides me.
Other perspectives.
So, I feel for Sacramento because no city wants to lose their professional team. You see how Baltimore feels about the Colts to this day because they left. Seattle is salty because they lost their team. They're trying to snatch somebody else's. So, I feel for fans because how would y'all feel, if your favorite team got taken out of your city? It would be kind of a bad situation. So I feel them. You know, Sacramento, I'm not really sure. I watch a lot of games, and I watch Sacramento games as well. I'm not sure if their fans are the same, you know, rabid fans that they were when they were winning, when, you know, the cowbells was getting on everybody's nerves. And they were, by all accounts, considered the loudest arena in the league, which people don't understand. Of course you're going to be that when you're winning, especially in a small market, just like Oklahoma City right now. People say, I heard so many comments that they have the best fans in the league, especially because last, you know, after they lost the series, all the fans stayed in their white T-shirts and they gave the team a standing ovation. Yeah, that's all well and good, but when is that going to wear off? First of all, this is a new market. This is a small market. That's the only professional team that they have. They're happy to have it. They're grateful to have it. And their team happened to get good very quickly. So these fans are a little bit spoiled. Let's see how that is once Oklahoma City becomes perennial losers. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like Sacramento right now.
And they're trying to.
But let's see how they act when they become losers and they're trying to take their team, like they're trying to take Sacramento out of Sacramento. I feel for you Kings fans.
Everybody talks about Seattle. It should go to Seattle. Gary Payton, Sean Kemp. I'm like, yo, my thing is this. Seattle had a team. They lost it. They lost it. So FOH&M. Y'all didn't want to give them a stadium? So now deal with the fact that your owner didn't want to get. I mean, it is.
Exactly, Jimmy. I was about to say that. First of all, I've been to Seattle and I've been to Key Arena. Key Arena looked like a banquet hall. Don't look like so. Before we talk about Seattle deserving a team. Let them do something for their team. Like you said, they left because of what Jimmy did.
Yo,
they wouldn't get those guys a new arena.
Opportunity.
Key Arena is
trash. You had your opportunity, yo. So shut up. Go drink your Starbucks and FOH.
Playing the rain.
Was Key Arena the only arena at the time?
I mean, Key Banquet Hall.
Seattle move that didn't have sponsorship. Like, you know how all the other places have sponsorship now, like Staples Center.
Yo,
Key Arena one of the last.
No, Key is a bank. Key Bank.
Okay.
So they had a sponsor, but the sponsor ain't put no money into making the building.
Yo, that arena was atrocious, yo. That arena was worse than Waterview.
Yo,
what you're saying
even from the outside of that arena, it's terrible.
That arena, they didn't put any money in there since Dennis Johnson and Lenny Wilkins was running.
I've seen LA fitness gyms that look better than that. So, at the end of the day, you guys lost your team, so, you know, suck it up. It, you know, it's not like you
I think this is the only solution. The only solution is they should keep the Kings, because that's all they have in Sacramento for sports. The NBA, if they want to help Seattle, just give Seattle another team, and then you would have to add a team somewhere in the Eastern Conference. That's the
only
way.
The NBA doesn't need to add any more teams.
Oh, my God.
The NBA needs to contract about 10 teams.
True.
Nobody
I agree with
have
that as well.
Yo, seriously. Now, I'm not – see, people are going to disagree with what I'm about to say because some of these teams are winning right now.
Hello.
It doesn't matter.
Preach.
Winning – like some of these smaller markets – let's be real, folks. And I'm rooting for Memphis. I want Memphis to win the NBA Finals this year. However, the NBA don't belong in Memphis, Tennessee. They don't need a team.
The NBA does not belong in
Charlotte. Of course, Vancouver didn't need a team, but they done moved it from one place that didn't need a team and sent it to another. Charlotte doesn't need a team. Charlotte is a city that should be able to support professional teams, but you tried it there once with the Hornets, so why the hell would you put another team there? Why would you put another team there?
What other cities?
New Orleans
don't need
doesn't
team.
Need a team.
New Orleans.
Oklahoma City, for real? Seriously?
No. Only team
Oklahoma City doesn't need a team.
I don't even know what's in Oklahoma City. Real talk. What's in Oklahoma City other than that squad?
That team now. And that's what I'm saying. People are going to disagree with this because they've been winning for the last 2 or 3 years. Like I said, we'll see what kind of market that is when they start losing. When they lose 4 years, 5 years straight, we'll see what kind of market we have in Oklahoma City. Like, seriously? Come on, Oklahoma City.
Think about it. You can't
Everybody
even
in the city probably
go
in the arena. So when they stop buying tickets, it's going to be empty in there.
Does Toronto
you can't even get
need
fans
a team
to go to D.C.? D.C. and D.C.
Exactly.
Can't get fans.
Not
Atlanta
even
can't
Philly.
Get fans.
D.C. can't get fans.
Charlotte.
Philly can't get fans unless they're winning. So it's like if the major markets are struggling just because they're not winning, like imagine what these little markets are going to do. I can't crap on Milwaukee because they've had a team forever. so we can't really say that's not viable. But
what about Toronto?
What I'm saying is expand these markets. I still say
get rid of Milwaukee. Only Midwest towns that deserve a team, keep Chicago, and we're going to keep Indiana just because Hoosiers was there.
Minnesota has four professional teams though, so you can't really crap on their market.
Oh, I'll take it in too, yo. Unless they let Prince run rock.
Minnesota is not because of the market. It's just because they always suck. They need to go. See, it's, for some people, it's because they suck, and some people it's because of the market. Even if you're good, like, come on.
Yeah, when I think
Oklahoma
of the Midwest,
City?
I don't think of hoops
really?
Anyway. I think of, like, football. Like, I, it's not –
Toronto.
Basketball is a big city game.
I think of shopping.
Toronto's got to go. The taxes.
Yo,
Toronto
is not even in
Toronto
our
– is a nice city. But like you said, if you, like, NBA with this trying to expand to other countries, like, the players are not feeling that because the ones who live there are getting double taxed. And then the tax alone in Toronto is off the hook.
No, what if they put a team in Hawaii? What if they put a team in Hawaii or the Bahamas?
Flights are too long, but I guarantee you they thought about it. They talking about putting teams in Europe, so they're not worried about that 5-hour from L.A.
The London Leopards are next.
I don't know, man. I know a lot of people up in arms about there who are bandwagon fans of some of these expansion teams that don't need to be in the league.
If anybody in the next 2 years,
Kevin Durant and
fan,
Russell Westbrook can play
head.
For you. KD and Brett Westbrook can play for Houston or somebody. Like, come on. Like,
yo, a quick disclaimer right now. If anybody out there tells me they're a Memphis Grizzlies fan in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to punch you in your damn head. All right, now.
I know one, and he's from Memphis, born and raised. I know one.
All right, outside of that. Let's get to talking some hoops real quick, yo. Spurs lead the Warriors 3-2. So the question is, we're not going to talk about the series, but can they force a game 7 tonight? Man. What do you guys think? San Antonio going to, like, you know, close the door? What's going to happen?
PM, but they're going to turn off their lights. But even if they force game 7, I still just don't see. I don't see Golden State winning the series. You know, early in the series, everybody had jumped onto that wagon. Not saying they were going to beat the Spurs, kind of disrespecting the Spurs a little bit. I don't think they're ready to do that, so I would venture to say no. But y'all remember me. I said they weren't going to beat the Nuggets either. So
I'm still on the wagon. I'm hanging off the side.
Yeah, but the wagon is hitched to Steph Curry, and he's hurt. He's obviously hurt. You know he got weak ankles, man.
Yeah,
he's
his
ankles.
And I don't know if y'all heard this stat.
Rookie year.
Oh yeah, go ahead. I don't know if y'all heard this stat, but the last game that they played, Steph Curry had 30 points scored on him.
Yeah, he's
so it's like
up.
Whoever he was guarding, they made sure they gave him the rock, so whoever he was guarding at the time would go at him. He's a liability on the defensive end. He had 30 points scored on him, so it's like, you know, now at this point, Popovich has devised a plan to negate what you're doing to them. He's just going to wear him out on the other side. Whoever he's guarding,
somebody else has to step up. Somebody else got to step up.
Klay Thompson. But, yo, that's crazy. Klay's been
in a clamshell.
Like, you saying that, like, but, you know, this team is a team that's not even really supposed to be here. So who would you expect to step up in the first place?
Pop is hurt, and his team is like, that's crazy. They say
David Lee's playing. He's playing 2 to 5 token minutes per game. So that's your all-star. They don't really have anybody to step up. Good.
He's horrible. But Pop, I was going to say, Pop is diabolical that he probably tells them in practice, look, I don't care where you are or who you are. If Curry's guarding you, shoot the ball. The play is for you.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So it's like if you try to switch him off onto somebody that's not a threat, he might make them go at him too.
This is absolutely true. Also, I just want to point
Gary
something out.
Gary Neal busting his ass.
Something I brought out at the beginning of the playoffs about how Golden State is interesting because they live by the jump shot. So when their jump shots are off, three-pointers are off, I mean, they can't compete. I was looking at the statistics. In the first two games against the San Antonio Spurs, they made more three-pointers than the Lakers made in the four games they played the Spurs. So So they were knocking their shots down to begin the series, like left and right.
Right.
But as
and
that
they
starts
had
to slow
everybody
down,
drinking
series,
that Kool-Aid.
And as the series slows down and those shots don't fall as frequently, you know, you got to grind it out, and they can't do that. They, with David Lee not being there, they don't have anyone they can throw the ball to the, in the post to and get a bucket.
Plus,
you know,
Jimmy,
I mean?
as arguably the best coach in the league, gets to make adjustments game after game. It's going to get harder and harder for the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean,
you
got to give
Mark
Jackson credit because they're competing at a high level, but, I mean, he's going against, like, arguably one of the top five coaches, top five, 10 coaches to ever, like, do it.
They go that man.
Adjustments.
They go that man.
You know, he's doing what he has to do. He's using his talent, you know, to the best of their ability, and it's going to be a tough out.
And San Antonio, by all accounts, is no more talented than the next team. So you got to give Pop his props. Pop props.
True.
Wrong with that.
Yeah, absolutely true, man. But I know one thing. The NBA is over there sweating because they're not too far from the Indiana-Memphis finals, and that probably will make the whole league go bankrupt. The whole league will be bankrupt by next year, yo.
Do y'all think Stern want to go out like that? Because remember, he's leaving. Like, man, I went out on a
Stern.
Thursday.
If it ends up Memphis and Indiana,
nah, he does.
He does.
Down all the conspiracies. No, the conspiracy. Because everybody thinks that he rigged the league anyway. So the
I don't think at the end of his tenure he would even care. You know, like smack.
No, I don't think he wants that. I think if it came down to Memphis, Indiana in the finals, he would come back for one more year.
Might shoot himself.
He'd be like, psych, I lied. He'd be coming right back next year. Because
he might drink himself
to
death. I got on good authority that he liked to tip the bottle.
So, Dev, you're saying, I'm going to go around the table. Dev, you're saying Spurs close it out tonight, right?
Close out.
Okay, Pete Austin, what do you say? Spurs close it out, does it go seven?
Even though Golden State has great fans. I attended a game there last year, or 2 years ago, when they weren't good and their fans showed up for the event and were loud as
hell. Pete Austin is refusing to answer because he's still on the bandwagon. Doc Bess.
What
happened?
They go seven. It goes seven. I think Golden State wins tonight. Curry and Thompson shoot around 50%.
All right.
Yeah. And I don't know if the people out there have learned me by now. Y'all know I don't really care whether my predictions are right or not, because I'd rather see a seven-game series with some good basketball. So,
here's the thing, Dev.
I don't proclaim to be that, you know, that dude you can place bets on.
Yo,
so don't do that.
I think the Spurs will close it out tonight. I want Golden State to win the series, let alone tonight.
Right,
I want
them
to win,
but at the
end of the day.
Same thing. You got like,
no.
You got your head pick and you got your heart pick. You know what I'm saying? And it's the same way with me.
I've always been a DeBarge fan, and as a DeBarge fan, I'm rooting for Golden State.
Well, I know that game come on 10:30, so I might not be watching, man. These games come on too late,
man. I want them to win, but I can't root for no light-skinned dudes, man. Yo, anyway.
Jimmy, for real, that's what they should do. They should get rid of every team on the. They should contract every team on the West Coast, so we ain't got to watch these late ass games. Go ahead.
Yo, that's another great idea, yo. First of all, why does California have like four teams by itself? They
contract
like,
the West
Coast.
They the ones with the 10:30
games. They can combine, and I'm a Lakers fan. They can combine all the teams and just call them like the, you know,
California.
Have y'all noticed something? This is like the most highlights other than jump shots that Harrison Barnes has ever had. Like his highlights in college were just jump shots.
You know what? Harrison Barnes, I think, is playing a good playoffs. He's having a good series, man. He's, you know, because he's not that rookie who was getting all the publicity and stuff like that. I think he's kind of holding his own right now, playing pretty well. But like I said, somebody might have to step up a little bit more for them to finish this out or even to stretch it on. But all right, man, let's move on to the next one.
Yeah, let's definitely move on because let's talk about the series that everybody wants to talk about.
The series
in the Avery Johnson voice. And that's the Pacers pounding the Knicks out. No bosh. Leading the series at 3-1. J.R. Smith is struggling in on the court as well as Instagram. But what do you guys think about the Pacers and the way they're handling the Knicks?
He down 0-1.
I think that someone on this show had the nerve to compare the Knicks squad to the Heat squad in a debate, and that's all I'm going to say.
No, look, I said that. I don't think – I mean, I'm not going to get into it because we'll go for another hour. I'm not backing off what I said. I agree
He's definitely struggling. I heard a soundbite where he's taking responsibility. He's actually blaming the whole series on himself, saying he's not doing his part.
But he's still going out drinking.
You got a lot of fans out there. Hey, I mean, that's what you do. That's what you do. I still do what I do every day when I have a bad day at work.
Yo, J.R. Smith,
you know what I mean?
If we giving out awards, if you giving out awards.
We ain't get that check we was waiting on today, but I'm still going to have fun tonight.
Man, you ain't never lie. But let me tell you something, though. J.R. Smith has to win the Yam Farmer of
what
the Year award in the NBA. Because the list of chicks that he's, you know what I mean, and the thing is, he don't even care if they're in the playoffs. He's still doing what he got to do.
Yeah, he gets hype.
Yo, shout out to Rihanna for just clowning him all over Instagram today, though. She ain't had to do that.
Rihanna. She called him, like, desert thirsty?
Desert
Matter
thirsty.
Matter of fact, yo, I'm going to read.
So, is she denying having any dealings with him? Because from all accounts, I hear the fans placing him alongside Rihanna because they're asking for comparisons. Like, everybody she dates goes into a slump while they're dating.
Oh, yeah.
But
no, she's not denying that he gave her the pipe. She's just saying that he, you know, don't blame her for his, you know, dastardly.
Yo, but that's what I'm saying. And people on Twitter were going at her today, like, yo, you basically admit that he smashed, so you can't slander someone after they smashed, basically. Like, once you get his draws up, your slander is meaningless. But it didn't stop her from saying what she said. And here's what she said. Let me preface this by saying the reason she responded this way is because, you know, Rihanna's on Instagram every day putting up pictures of herself. And people are coming onto her Instagram just commenting about the Knicks series. And the Knicks fan base, for anybody who doesn't know, yo, they're delusional and crazy. So she got tired of them. I'm talking about when I say flooding her stuff, yo, they were leaving like 8,000 comments on the picture. I'm talking about flooding her stuff. So she got tired, and here's what she said. She responded to a guy named @Peruvian_God. She said, F you and your whack-ass team.
Damn.
Nobody don't want that desert thirsty NIGGA. He's effing up because his AWS be hung over from clubbing every night during the playoffs. So your issue ain't with me. She said, your issue ain't with asshole me, whatever. She was going in, basically. I'm trying to keep it clean.
I'm like, he's struggling trying to keep that joint clean.
I'm trying to keep it clean because she was going, like, you know, honey baked ham on him. So he's losing on social media.
He's getting slaughtered this week.
I got my own theory, though, yo. My theory is the reason they're losing this way is because Amari came back.
Oh, leave Amari alone.
And I'm not
man.
Saying nothing about his game particularly, but did you ever notice? When
but
Amari goes away,
but
the last couple games he's been back and he's like out of control. What game did he come back in? The third game?
No,
I think after that.
I think it was
four.
Game four. Yeah, so they was
he
already
how
getting.
Many games?
He was already.
He needs to be amnesty. He needs to be amnesty next year.
But here's the thing, though. For some reason,
he played
even
one
when
game.
Melo
didn't
goes
he?
Out, I put
yeah,
he played
one.
I played one game. Okay. Thing
yeah,
is, though,
no,
he's
losing
because
they got.
The New York team play, though, for some reason, them dudes cannot play together. But anyway, the team is garbage. Indiana is also a team that people, like, were sleeping on going into the playoffs because they had their run early in the season. Everybody wanted them to beat the Heat. And then
yeah.
The Heat stopped the mud hole in them. And after that, everybody just forgot that Indiana.
They forgot Indiana was even good.
Yeah, because Miami beat them bad. Miami stopped the mud hole in them, but it doesn't.
Like, Miami is tired of hearing all the talk. They got a chance. The Pacers is better than them. And
I
got tired of that, too. Miami showed people during the regular season and during the playoffs, for that matter, that, you know, all of that doesn't mean anything. Because even down 3-1, people still wanted to point out how Chicago has beaten them the last such and such out of this many times. But they don't when it counts. Like, they beat them in the playoffs 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying? When they talked all that stuff in the regular – well, Chicago did break the streak. But for them, you know, their get back was the playoff series. Even though – I mean, we might as well talk about that since I didn't segue. My bad. But
no,
that whole thing, I mean, it was definitely unfair. It was definitely unfair because Chicago was down, like, their three main scorers. They were down, you know, those guys. So they didn't stand a chance from jump. Game one, they played with all the heart in the world, made the whole world proud. But,
they played,
you know,
played
if anybody
heart.
Out there thought that they were going to actually be able to keep that up, to win four times, like you were kind of delusional. It's like they had to play the perfect game to beat Miami. And Miami, as flawed as I think they played throughout the series, showed you that they didn't have to play anywhere near perfect to beat Chicago, especially missing, you know, their three top guns.
As Jimmy just said, you know, they haven't even played well yet. One of
in the playoffs at all.
On one leg, and Bosch is, you know, Bosch is being Boshy, so they're relying on
Bosch.
They're relying on LeBron
Cole.
Cole's
what it is?
Let me tell you what it is.
Nate, it's a little man thing. See, that little man complex is coming into play here. Nate Robinson was busting Norris Cole ass, and Norris Cole got tired of that. He got tired of hearing the rap. He said, "I'm good too." So it's inspired him to step his game up. So I respect.
Yo, man, what's up?
Y'all think Norris Cole
kinda... Rio job is going, y'all?
Oh, that's the... Jimmy. We was about to ask the same thing. I was about to say. Did y'all notice how Norris Cole kind of dug into Rio's playing time during the series?
Man,
I don't know if he's going to take his time. I think it might be a Nate Robinson thing. Like, Rio had no chance staying anywhere near Nate Robinson. So I think
Cole
might have just made the move as a matchup type move. Because you know how he goes. There were situations like last playoffs where the dude, what's the bum dude name? Joel Anthony. Remember, he was starting for the most of the season last year. You get into certain matchup, you know, situations in the playoffs, and you forgot he was even on the team. So it's like, I think Spo would just go with who he has to.
Spo is from that old Pat Riley school of coaching where, like, he don't believe in positions and sizes. Like, I'm just putting the five best out there.
This dude is better than Nate Robinson. You know,
y'all remember that
Norris Cole. If Norris Cole isn't better than Rio, he's got way more upside.
Yeah, y'all remember that blog? I wrote a blog on Cole last year, and I could kind of see that he had that it factor that could help the Heat get over the hump. And I called last year that he would help the Heat win some crucial playoff games, and that wound up happening this year.
I think he could take his job, though. I mean, it's not like Rio's position was set in stone. He's not one of the big three, but I just think it's interesting because the Heat haven't played a good game yet. And in game three against Chicago, they won by like 1,280 points without even playing a good game.
But so, you know what, Jimmy? Like, I don't think he'll take his spot simply for the fact Miami has so much talent in their starting lineup. You can still use his scoring coming off the bench. I mean, it's a lot of coaches with that.
True.
With that, you know, like J.R. Smith. You can't tell me he ain't better than the people they got starting at two guard in New York.
This week he isn't.
This week he's not,
let's revisit a question.
They started Jason Kidd at the two for most of the season. So, you know, J.R.
Jason Kidd hasn't scored in 6 months.
Fellas,
let's revisit a question. I remember I was the only one that felt as if the Bulls would give the Heat a better series than the Knicks versus the Heat. Do y'all still stand by your predictions, even though it probably can't happen now?
I don't know what happened to the Knicks. Maybe it was the dependence on the three-point shot. And, Jimmy, Jason Kidd hasn't scored in 8 quarters.
No.
It's more than 8 quarters.
It's more than 8?
Yo, he had 4
more
like
than eight.
April, yo.
Yo, I don't think Jason Kidd has scored, yo, for real. No talk. He ain't scored since the Heat won the last year. But, yo, listen, I think it's this, though, Kidd.
It's not eight quarters. He ain't scored in a minute, yo.
It's been a while since he scored.
I mean, eight quarters is two games. It's been more than two games.
It's eight games, not eight quarters.
He ain't scored in eight games. I just find it interesting, right?
I just find it interesting. Like, the Knicks are struggling.
He's still being up.
But no one is giving credit to the Pacers. You watch the way they play the Pacers. They're out hustling him on every play.
Well, Jimmy, the national media and Knicks fans aren't. It's not good.
It's not that it's good defense on the part of the Pacers. It's just horrible offense.
But the Pacers
they win every hustle play the Pacers have won. In terms of coaching, and now granted, the Pacers have one of the best coaches, one of the most underrated coaches in the league.
Way off subject, but I just saw something go past the ticker. Minnesota decided to make Joe Webb a wide receiver, take him away from the quarterback position. Good for them.
They should take him away from the football
field. Black man
but remember really after that one game, yo, we slandered Joe Webb so bad after that game.
Yo, yeah, that was the worst performance
ever.
I'm going
to ask this, Jimmy, and I'm not even being facetious, and I'm not trying to debate you, but if you double it or triple Melo, who else can score? I'm not even being funny. Like, for the Knicks, if you double or triple him, who else can score?
That's the Knicks' fault, though. They have
JR.
All their players are one way. Most of their team are one way, players.
His shooting is off, but he's a scorer.
I say the closest person on the Knicks that could probably create their own offense would be Raymond Felton. And if that's the closest thing to Melo creating his own offense, then you're in bad shape. Not
yeah,
just
but
him, but if he – because J.R. Smith, like, he's not – he don't really create much offense on his own. He does a lot of catch and shoot, and he does a lot of that step-back move, but he don't really have a lot with him as far as making –
Yo, his mid-range game is all off-balance fallaways.
Yeah, so I wouldn't really put trust in him. Felton could break his man down one time and get to the rack, but he out of shape, so he going to get tired.
Though,
when is he ever in shape?
How are you going to be out of shape by the end
Yo,
of the season,
Raymond
though?
Raymond Felton looked like this. Worse.
Smack you. Go ahead.
Yeah, he just slanted his meal. But what I'm saying is the Knicks, right? The Knicks are off the series, right? We all know that. But the thing is, this same team was shooting like 50, 60% against the Celtics, and everybody was talking about how great a team they were. That's what I'm saying. So the team is shooting off, but that's my point. My point is, when watching these games, no one is giving Indiana credit. Indiana is playing great basketball right now. They're winning every hustle play. They're grabbing rebounds. They're hitting the board. Hibbert is allowed to stay in there and goaltend because the Knicks don't have any presence to like.
Because
you know,
I don't think the Knicks. I don't think the Knicks are just missing. If you look, Indiana's running them off the three-point line a lot of times.
Absolutely.
So they're shooting from ranges that they're not even comfortable with, and that's crazy.
Yo, Indiana's getting
closer,
no credit.
It's crazy that in today's NBA you're uncomfortable shooting closer to the rim, but they're running them off the three-point line in a lot of situations, and they're not even getting the shots that they want.
That's hilarious.
But if you are going to keep launching threes and you're not making any, why is Novak not getting any burn? Like, coaches go to the playoffs – and they stick with this small rotation, and I don't understand why they do that.
No, your man is coaching circles around him, man.
Yeah, it's like
he
do what you did to get there.
He needs to stop dying his goatee
like,
and get in the film room and make it work, man.
Steve Novak was a big part of what they did in the regular season, and now he gets no burn whatsoever. I don't understand.
Here's Mike Woodson's problem. Hey, here's Mike Woodson's problem to answer Dev's question. Like, Novak, he can just play offense, but he can't guard any of the perimeter players on Indiana.
Right.
Chandler, you can't give him for offense. He's a great defender. Kidd, he's a great defender. He's not giving you any offense. Prigioni, he can guard a little bit, but he doesn't really give you any offense. Melo, he's not going to stop any of their. He's not going to stop David West. So what you have a problem where he's looking down at his bench where they got you an offensive guy or a defensive guy. Shumpert, defense, offense.
But still, he has badass yellow boys.
Yeah, but he's
another
not going to be any offense.
Defense,
that's another one.
No offense.
You just helped him with his point. Like,
but even
I know, I was being facetious. Can I ask y'all a question? Maybe someone can
help
like
me. He got trying to I ain't going to say out. That.
I've been trying to figure this out. No one can answer. How did Prigioni get signed and why?
Yo, he's like 36. Like, he gave me. I was like, yo.
Oh,
I was like, hold up.
Prigioni, he ain't terrible, but he seemed like he's afraid to shoot sometimes.
Yeah.
Like,
no, he's
he don't want to
bad,
shoot the ball.
Dad, but why do you sign him at 36? I'm not saying he's bad.
Because you got Jason Kidd at 96. So
you saying they should have Flip Murray out there?
He'll stay advocating Flip to get a job somewhere. What's up with James White? Why my man can't get psyched?
James White.
I don't mess with him no more because he embarrassed me all
Green.
That week. He embarrassed me.
It's good to see Gerald Green and James White in the league. I just kind of feel bad. I don't know. I feel good for them because they have had so much potential and didn't
James
do anything.
James White is 31 and can't dribble.
he looks at the – even in the dunk contest when he was dribbling down the joint, he was looking at the floor. He was like,
yo, every time he bounced the ball, he had to look down and make sure it was coming back up to his hand.
Like that.
So all I'm saying is my whole thing just to, like, you know, go back to it. I just want people to start watching how Indiana's playing. Give Indiana some props, yo. What would they do in the next series remains to be seen.
Give them their props now while they're still around to give
yeah,
their props.
I don't know how long we're going to be giving them props, but while they're playing, let's give them props.
They're going to get a muddle.
So did they close it out tonight? Did the Pacers close it out tonight?
I think the Knicks will have one more fight in them, but I don't think they're gonna take it seven. I think it'll go six.
Yo,
because this is game five, right? This is game five.
George Hill is not playing tonight. He has a concussion, aka a Troy Aikman, so he's not playing tonight.
He had 26 last game, so.
I don't know how that would affect him. So that could be big. You know, who knows?
Lance Stevenson has grown up a little bit. He's balling.
Yeah, and he got a great stylist.
People that don't know that, listen to our show more. Anyway,
she'd be greater if she retweeted that replay. But
give him some bacchus. Yo, all I'm saying is this: the last series, Memphis OKC, Kevin Durant was the low carrier, and he has been getting his fair share of slander all over everywhere.
You know what's funny though, Jim?
What's that?
All the slander that Kevin Durant has gotten is from like LeBron stans, because they want to be on some like I told you he wasn't as good as LeBron, or you know y'all, or they want to point out that when LeBron went through these same struggles, everybody dogged him, so they're trying to coerce everybody to dog Kevin Durant at the same time. Me,
yeah,
you know, gotta keep it 100. Kevin Durant. Like, it's not like it was him saying, you know, I don't need Westbrook. I'd be better off without Westbrook. But a lot of silly fans were saying that. Like, he'd be better without Westbrook. Westbrook holds him back. Kevin Durant got a crash course this series, and the fans who said that got a crash course in life without Russell Westbrook. Yeah, how valuable Russie is next to Kevin Durant, that he's not going to flourish without Russell, because he's going to get so much attention that it's going to, you know, it's going to be stifling. It's nothing that he's really used to, because he hasn't really played the LeBron James role on a team, or the Kobe Bryant role on a team just yet, because he's always had Russell to sit back and kind of, you know, lean on.
There are times in games where Durant, as great as he is, he can take a break, because my man Russell's right arm is always ready to shoot.
Well, with Russell, you're not really taking a break by choice. He's just going to come down before everybody. And
he ain't never
yeah.
I've seen him take the ball out of the basket and not wait for anybody and just go down and shoot one on four.
But it's more a lot of times.
So I don't disagree that he does some boneheaded stuff sometimes, but Russell Westbrook is somewhere in the top 10, 15 players in this league. So all that stuff that people are saying he'd be better off without Russie, like, man, kill that.
Yo, but it's not even his scoring. It's the fact of how much pressure he puts
attention
on the defense.
Attention he gets, yeah.
It's the attention and the pressure, because of his athleticism, the way he's able to, like, get his own shot or go to the rack. A lot of those open shots that the wing guys get come off of that.
And not to mention he's a pretty good defender, man. Not to mention he's a pretty good defender. So as far as
I was going to say, one of the things that solidified my respect for him, particularly his offensive game, is he went and worked on a mid-range pull-up. And with the type of speed and athleticism he's working on,
kill people with that.
Working with, yo, that will be unstoppable for the rest of his life, damn
yeah.
I hope he still has his athleticism, because we all know that the biggest strength of his game is the fact that, you know.
Yeah, he's like Curious George with it. But
he's one of them dudes that jumps, and if you catch him at the apex of his jump, he doesn't look like he jumped off the ground. He looks like he was dropped off the ceiling.
You know, like, even before the injury, you know, I was already moving closer to the very unpopular opinion that they may be like 1A and 1B instead of 1-2 and OKC. Now, a lot of people would disagree. A lot of people would just, what the hell are you talking about, this and that? listen to me. Let me entertain me for 1 second, y'all. I definitely think that Kevin Durant is the far superior player as far as skills are concerned. But if you look at everything Westbrook brings to the table, I think he brings just as much to the team as Kevin Durant when you want to, you know, equal things out. He's a much better defender than Durant. You know what I'm saying? Durant.
And not to mention the attitude.
That's what gets overlooked.
That attitude he got, man, he got one back. I remember watching him play the Lakers, and he, like, was going at Kobe like Kobe wasn't Kobe.
Exactly. Like
he
don't
attitude.
Care who you are. And his attitude also extends to the fans. Like, Russell Westbrook, he does something, and he always gets hype, plays to the fans. Like, people don't understand how great, you know, it is to have 20,000 people, you know, in a frenzy on your side. Like, that's a momentum builder right there. You know, it makes people play harder and stuff like that.
And
Westbrook,
that series,
he's the dude
in that
who
Heat
hypes
series,
up the crowd.
Going hard.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Westbrook will make a shot or dunk on somebody and get hyped
and
look to the crowd.
Said, I mean, we kiss Westbrook ass enough. Listen, and with all that being said, for the people that say they would have won if they would have had Westbrook, I don't even know that anyway. Because think
about
this, last year, they went 7 games. And barely won, and they had Westbrook and Harden.
Yeah.
You know
so
what
that's
saying?
The thing. That's
Memphis
a good question,
is a good team.
Would they have won full strength against Memphis? Memphis is bigger than everybody.
Memphis is a good team. I was telling somebody, listen,
what?
Memphis shouldn't even play basketball. Memphis is built like an AFC North team.
To y'all point, I actually think they wouldn't have because where they were beat was down low block. And
that's where everybody gets beat by
Kendrick Perkins is a human walking bag of feces. And
do you notice, though, how it seems like everybody's quieted down on that Perkins being so important talk from a year or two ago.
But we told everybody kept telling us
that we crazy
years
to call
ago
him
that
a bum.
Perkins was
Kendrick
a walking
a
bag
bum.
Of dookie, and everybody wanted to. To come on, man.
He's not even a good defender. He's 6'5".
Right.
People think because he want to get up on you and bump you real hard that he plays the defense real good.
Hey,
Z-Bo is bullying him down on that block. He is not.
Serge Ibaka, what we don't talk about in the war room, Serge Ibaka is with them. And what do I mean by them? I'm talking about the guys that
name
wear their clothes. He wants to be a fashion model. He wants attention. You see his game is drifting offensively further and
further
away
jump shots.
From the rim.
Mm-hmm.
He's shooting jumpers. He's shooting threes. Instead
and
of going the wizard down in Houston getting his footwork right, he wants to be a three-point shooter.
Yo, he's with them, huh? Yo, hey Doc Bay. Doc Bay.
He's with Wade.
I got a stat for you, Doc Bay. Do you realize that Kendrick Perkins is the first NBA player in history to ever play 200 plus minutes in a single postseason and post a negative PER.
He is a bum.
Yeah, man, I saw that. That was crazy.
Yo,
that's crazy.
He has no value.
He's cabbage. He's real cabbage.
Yo,
like, they're missing Jeff Green right
negative.
Now. They really wish they had Jeff Green right
now.
That means the fact that he has a negative PER with playing that many minutes is the first ever in the history of the league. That means he's literally running up and down the court
he's
and not doing anything.
Body.
He's just running back and forth and getting paid.
That means that he's playing for Memphis.
He got mean cardio. He got mean. He's playing 5-on-4, yo.
And after Jimmy said that statistic, it just makes me reminisce on all the times people called into this show.
Yo, he's
supporting,
the glue
supporting
that
him. He is
together.
The glue. Man,
the glue. It's
it makes me want to smack Rondo. Remember Rondo was going crazy, that was Rondo's mess.
Hey Jimmy, I mean, be awesome. He might not be glue, but feces is kind of sticky, so people might have been fooled. People might have been fooled thinking that was glue.
We pooping on the dude. But I'm going back to Serge.
He poop on himself.
Serge is not showing up either. He's more worried about what's in his wardrobe and looking in the mirror and chasing after the singer Carrie Hilson.
Getting his
he's not being
his lips.
You will too, man.
True. But I get paid to talk.
I know. See, I hate my man for yam farming. J.R. Smith out there getting drunk.
So
same day as game.
J.R. ain't loving him.
So what are, if Memphis finishes them off, right? I'm sorry, Memphis did finish them off.
Yes,
if,
they did.
I mean, if the Spurs finishes Golden State off, who do you think, who do y'all guys think have the edge in that
Memphis.
Particular series?
Memphis.
I think Memphis.
Memphis, yeah. Memphis beat them when they were an 8 and the Spurs were a 1.
I want to say Memphis, but there are some key pieces missing, namely Rudy Gay and O.J.
Right.
Mayo. You know, and
that's because they were soft,
and,
man. I told you they.
No,
yeah.
I want to say Ginobili has lost it, but Ginobili still does some things to make me say,
true.
"Wow."
Yeah.
His shooting
but listen,
is
no,
off,
what
though.
Jimmy said is true, though. I mean, they probably did trade Rudy Gay because he's like. You
they
gotta
got
be tougher to play
dudes,
for this.
Man.
But
you
the only
know,
thing,
they,
like,
they got rid of all the soft dudes.
I did see, like, that game that they lost, the game one that they lost in the series. Remember, I told y'all that was a game where you can see the absence of Rudy Gay. I think they're good without him. You know, Tayshaun Prince brings more of a toughness to the team. But in that game one, when they could have they could have swept this team. They should have swept this team. In game one, when they should have finished them off. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have that go-to guy at the end of a close game that they needed that could get his own shot. Because, you know, these days, at the end of games, it's just hero ball.
Duh.
And nobody's running plays anymore. So they don't have anybody to play hero ball. And that was Rudy Gay's thing at the end of the game. But you can't pay Rudy Gay $80 million just to bring him in at the
Memphis
end of the game.
Memphis is a grimy team. They didn't want none of them soft shooter guys on the team. They want grimy players. Yo, have you noticed, and like this shows that, you know, how the NBA has changed because we watched the post-game press conferences. Yo, Mark Gasol has worn 2 suits the entire postseason. Yo,
because they ain't worried. That's all he bought.
Them dudes don't care about, they don't care about none of that nonsense. They all about, like,
hey,
you know,
so what you're saying
work.
Is they have their fine money ready. Z-Bo and my man Dark Skin Jermaine are going to the podium in Dicky suits and Chuckers and right after they're going straight to the
listen,
block.
Man,
I go on my uniform
block. Watch after the games. When you see Z-Bo and him walking up, yo, all you hear is the jump, yo.
Yeah. Sending this one out to my man Killer B.
Yo. Now I'm rooting for Memphis.
Memphis is a grimy team, man. They look like they're FC North basketball team.
My man, Dark Skin Jermaine and Z-Bo is serving them fiends on the timeouts. Okay.
On the timeouts. Hey, did y'all know Dark Skin Jermaine?
Yeah, they got dudes shook. They definitely got dudes shook.
To all the killers and the $100 villains.
Did y'all know Tony Allen? Tony Allen's plus minus for the team, like, I was looking at a stat, and I can find the I could probably post it on our Facebook page. But he was, like, when he's on the floor, teams average, like, 85 points. When he's off the floor, teams average, like, 98 points. So he's a 13-point differential.
He got his first shoot.
Well, he faked out his props. He did make first team all defense, which he, you know, he definitely deserves.
His offense has gotten better in an ugly way. It's still not nice to look at, but dude will get you buckets. He can get you 15.
I think his offense was pretty good back in Boston, but I think
about,
that's because he was free to do what he wanted.
Last thing about Memphis, though, B. Austin's homie Mike Conley Jr., the one B.
I was
Austin
about to give him
worst,
a shout-out. Yo, we
the
think of
worst that. Starting point guard in the entire league, and he favorited the tweet because he was inspired by B. Austin's slander.
Yeah,
yo, I'm responsible.
We indirectly responsible. Well, us in the Marc Gasol trade, we indirectly are responsible for Memphis' success right now. Because, I tweeted him twice this week to tell him, okay, we see you. We see you out there. So, shout out to Mike Conley Jr. because he hasn't moved.
I think he's in the middle of the pack. He's probably 15th.
Yeah, I think people are going overboard now with the overrating of him, but he's definitely.
Yo, he's better than Darren Williams. I'm joking. But anyway, thanks for I don't root for light-skinned dudes. Anyway, thanks for joining us again in the War Room, soldiers. Shout out to everyone in the chat room on Facebook, Twitter, and all the calls who chimed in and busted up with us. Special thanks to Nate Jones on bass for taking time to chop it up with us. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for another episode of your favorite show. We'll be all over the NBA playoffs and everything else in the sports world, as we always do. Until then, enjoy your sports week. You'll see us here next time. Check us out, Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Instagram, And don't forget to watch the video at WorldSportsTV.com. Until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity. Be steadfast in the war against ignorance. And we'll see you chumps on top.
All the blueprint, yo. Every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, B. Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial. Call it 323, looking 0012. If you're going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us. War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.